There are perhaps no better two symbols for the United States of America than Liberty Island and Ellis Island. Liberty Island is home to the Statue of Liberty, which, since 1886, has served as a powerful symbol for freedom and liberty. The Statue of Liberty, which was a gift from French sculptor Frederic Bartholdi in honor of America's centennial, also bears a bronze tablet engraved with The New Colossus, a poem by Emma Lazarus. This poem is famous for a line from its final stanza, which reads as follows: "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." This is a reference to the United States' reputation as a nation of immigrants, quite a fitting one, as the Statue of Liberty was the first site of America for many immigrants of the late 19th century to mid-20th century. This is because Liberty Island sits approximately half a mile south of Ellis Island. From 1892 to 1954, Ellis Island was home to the largest immigration processing facility in U.S. history. Within six decades, over 12 million immigrants became Americans on Ellis Island. Initially, Ellis Island mostly received immigrants from the German Empire, in line with 19th century trends. As the 20th century progressed, these immigrants were eclipsed by immigrants from Southern and Eastern Europe, including Italians, Poles, Russians, Greeks, and Jews. After the Immigration Act of 1924 was passed, however, immigration to the U.S. was severely curtailed. Consequently, Ellis Island was mainly just used as a center for filling out bureaucratic paperwork rather than naturalizing citizens. During and after World War II, Ellis Island was mainly used to detain violators of immigration law. This continued until 1954, when Ellis Island was decommissioned. It remains as a really cool immigration museum that you should absolutely visit if you have the opportunity. But a little known tidbit about Liberty Island and Ellis Island is that they once were and are still the subject of a border dispute between two states. Liberty Island and Ellis Island are both located in Upper New York Harbor, which serves as a maritime border between the states of New Jersey and New York. Liberty Island and Ellis Island both lie approximately 1 mile west of Governor's Island, which is classified as part of the borough of Manhattan, New York. This close proximity makes sense because, as most of my listeners probably know, Liberty Island and Ellis Island are part of the state of New York and are culturally associated with New York City. However, the distance from these islands to New York isn't actually that short. Both islands only lie just over a quarter mile east of Jersey City, New Jersey. Taking the New Jersey ferry from Jersey City to Liberty Island will take you 20 minutes, while taking the New York ferry from Battery Park to Liberty Island will take you 45 minutes. But it gets even weirder. If you look at Ellis Island on a navigation app or website, you'll see that the New Jersey-New York border carves out a chunk of the island, which includes the eponymous Immigration Museum, to be part of New York, while most of the island is part of New Jersey. Since the border between New Jersey and New York supposedly runs vertically directly through the middle of the New York Harbor, Liberty Island and Ellis Island, both of which are substantially closer to New Jersey than New York, should be part of New Jersey, right? Prowse Island, a bird sanctuary in the Staten Island Sound that lies closer to Staten Island, New York than Linden, New Jersey, is part of New York. Skeleton Hill Island, a historical site in Lower New York Bay that lies closer to Middletown, New Jersey than Staten Island, New York, is part of New Jersey. So what gives? Why are Liberty Island and Ellis Island legally classified as part of the state of New York rather than the state of New Jersey, despite being in the territorial waters of New Jersey? And why does Ellis Island's border look so weird? Well, these phenomena exist because of a grant written almost 400 years ago and an interstate compact agreed upon almost 200 years ago, both of which were brought into question by a Supreme Court case 25 years ago. I'm going to tell you all about it right now on Historia Obscura. Welcome to Historia Obscura. This is the 90th episode of this podcast, and I really can't wait for you to hear it, especially because it's partially about the greatest state in America. Special thank you to Patreon subscribers Barbara, David Kahn, Lisa Chase, and Tom. If you want to receive a shout-out in every episode, among other benefits, help support this podcast by going to patreon.com/historiaobscura and becoming a patron. One more thing, make sure to stick around for a little to hear a message about the sponsor of this episode of Historia Obscura, Spotify for Podcasters. If you want to make your own podcast, you'll want to know everything about how to use Spotify for Podcasters. Following the seizure of the land from the Lenape Native tribe in 1614, the land that makes up present-day New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Delaware, as well as smaller parts of present-day Pennsylvania and Rhode Island, was consolidated into a Dutch colony known as New Netherland. The English soon laid eyes on the region, believing that control of the powerful port city of New Amsterdam would give England a leg up in the transatlantic slave trade. In 1664, King Charles II of England sent warships to New Netherland in an attempt to intimidate the Dutch into handing over the colony. New Netherland Director General Peter Stuyvesant wanted to mount a military defense, but the Dutch West India Company refused to send troops, and Stuyvesant had no choice but to surrender the territory to the English. New Jersey, New York, and the other states that don't matter were all broken up into their own provinces, while New Amsterdam was renamed New York. According to the 1664 land grant for the province of New Jersey, New Jersey was demarcated as, quote, westward of Long Island and Manhattan Island, and bounded on the east part by the main sea and part by Hudson's River. This made about as much sense to everyone back then as it does now. Due to vague wording about the border with New York, cross-border skirmishes began in 1702 and persisted until 1765 in what is known as the New Jersey-New York Line War. The main area of confusion was the description of the border as being partially marked by the Hudson River, and also which sea the main sea in question actually was. According to New Jersey, the border ran southwards, splitting the Hudson River, New York Harbor, and finally New York Bay before terminating at the Atlantic Ocean. This would put Ellis Island, Liberty Island, and even Staten Island within New Jersey. New York's government saw it differently, believing that the border actually ran along New Jersey's contiguous coastline, curving through the Staten Island Sound. Not only would this interpretation give New York all of the disputed islands, it would also put all of New Jersey's lucrative ports on the Hudson River in New York's tax jurisdiction. Following the American Revolution, the province of New Jersey and the province of New York became the state of New Jersey and the state of New York, respectively. As a more populous, more wealthy, and more influential state than New Jersey, New York was more successful in implementing its interpretation of the border between the two states. In line with this, New York began pressuring New Jersey's ports to pay taxes to the New York state government. Following a failed attempt to resolve the issue in 1807, New Jersey sued New York in 1831, claiming that New York was abusing its wrongful interpretation of the New Jersey land grant. To the federal government, the potential for two states to come to blows over a border dispute was no bueno, and in 1833, Congress essentially forced the state of New York to negotiate some sort of agreement with New Jersey. Only then did New Jersey and New York agree to an interstate compact, which was ratified by Congress in 1834. Under this compact, New York agreed to recognize the border as going down the middle of the Hudson River, putting New Jersey's ports inside of New Jersey's state boundaries. In return, New Jersey agreed to let the border curve through the Staten Island Sound, which would put Staten Island in New York. As a New Jersey resident, no loss there. But since, as I mentioned earlier, Liberty Island and Ellis Island are substantially closer to New Jersey than New York, a border running through the middle of the Hudson would put these two islands in New Jersey's territory. However, for New York to agree to the compact, New Jersey also had to recognize Liberty Island and Ellis Island as part of New York, even though both islands are in New Jersey's waters. To New Jersey's state government, having authority over their own ports and not having to pay taxes to New York were just more important than having what were then just two small and uninhabited islands. The final caveat of the New Jersey-New York Interstate Compact was that any parts of Liberty Island and Ellis Island submerged underwater were part of New Jersey. This probably sounds like a pointless thing to mention. After all, what good is there in owning land that's underwater? However, the single clause of the compact would eventually become crucial to a new land claim by New Jersey. Although Liberty Island and Ellis Island are both part of New York under the still-functioning Interstate Compact of 1834, the federal government has administered Liberty Island since 1801 and Ellis Island since 1808. Initially, both islands were home to military bases due to their strategic position in New York Harbor, but by the end of the American Civil War, the U.S. government wasn't particularly concerned about military threats against the American mainland. As two major tourist attractions, however, Liberty Island and Ellis Island collectively raked in over $80 million a year for New York by 1980. Ellis Island in particular became even more important in 1990, when the main building on the island was reopened as a museum, and plans were made to renovate the site. As even more tourism revenue and donations began to flow in, New Jersey set its sights on taking back Ellis Island. Thankfully for New Jersey, there was a way for them to claim most of the island. See, over the course of Ellis Island's status as an immigration facility, the federal government artificially reclaimed the land surrounding the island to the point where, by 1990, approximately 83% of the island was reclaimed land. Now remember, the 1834 Interstate Compact stated that the submerged lands surrounding Liberty Island and Ellis Island belonged to New Jersey. In 1993, New Jersey sued New York on the grounds that the new extensions of Ellis Island were part of New Jersey under the compact. On January 12, 1998, the case of New Jersey versus New York went to the Supreme Court, posing the following question. Are the filled portions on Jersey's side of Ellis Island under the sovereign authority of the state of New York or the state of New Jersey? Joseph Yannotti, arguing for New Jersey, postulated that the 1834 compact gave New Jersey exclusive sovereignty over all lands dredged up as part of Ellis Island. Although the federal government had artificially added land to the island, Yannotti argued that the compact served as proof of concept for the incorporation of land outside Ellis Island's original boundaries into New Jersey. Daniel Smirlock, arguing for New York, utilized a very unique claim. According to Smirlock, the land added to Ellis Island was actually composed of the dirt that was unearthed when New York City was digging out its subway system. In other words, New York had dumped its own dirt onto Ellis Island to artificially create new land, and this new land was therefore New York's land, according to them. On May 26, 1998, in a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of New Jersey. The Supreme Court's opinion, written by David Souter, held that the border between New Jersey and New York on Ellis Island was at the former high watermark of the original island, and that all later expansions of the island were part of New Jersey. David Souter's majority opinion was joined by Stephen Breyer, Anthony Kennedy, Sandra Day O'Connor, William Rehnquist, and even the Brooklyn, New York native Ruth Bader Ginsburg. John Paul Stevens, Clarence Thomas, and even the Trenton, New Jersey native Antonin Scalia dissented on the grounds that there was a litany of historical and cultural connections between Ellis Island and the state of New York, including the fact that ID cards given to immigrants processed at Ellis Island said, quote, "landing at New York." New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman praised the decision, stating, quote, "We're part of a wonderful immigrant tradition in this country, and we have our claim to it. New Jersey's place in history shouldn't be questioned by anybody." New York Governor George Pataki criticized the decision, saying, quote, "Ellis Island will always be part of New York in the hearts and minds of the millions of immigrants who came to America seeking freedom and liberty. This decision can never change that fact." In the grand scheme of things, the case of New Jersey versus New York was more a matter of pride than logistics. The federal government still administers Ellis Island, and the National Park Service gets most of the revenue from the museum itself. However, there were a few crucial changes. The combined state and municipal sales tax of New York City is 8.875%, while the sales tax of Jersey City is 6.625%. This means that a ticket for a hard hat tour of the Ellis Island Hospital, which is in New Jersey's share of Ellis Island, will cost you $53.31 instead of $54.44. So, you may ask, why even mention Liberty Island at all in this episode? After all, New Jersey versus New York only handled the Ellis Island issue. Well, the Supreme Court's holding also means that Liberty Island's small portion of reclaimed land belongs to New Jersey instead of New York, and if New Jersey ever cared enough to sue on these grounds, the issue would almost certainly be resolved in our favor. It may be prudent of New Jersey's government to do so soon, as the reclaimed portion of Liberty Island includes numerous businesses, such as Benny's Burgers, the Liberty Island Bookstore, and most lucrative of all, the Statue of Liberty gift shop. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Historia Obscura. I really enjoyed writing it. And hopefully one day New Jersey will liberate the entirety of Ellis Island and Liberty Island from the tyranny of New York's 9% sales tax. If you want to suggest an episode of Historia Obscura, send me a voice message at podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/historiaobscura/message. Feel free to leave your name and location, and if I like your idea, I'll make an episode of it and give you credit. Additionally, if you want to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/historiaobscura and become a patron. And of course, I can't go without once again thanking this episode's sponsor, Spotify for Podcasters. They are by far the easiest way to make a podcast, so if you want to make your own, go to spotify.com/podcasters. With that said, this is Jack from Historia Obscura, signing off. But not for long.